You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
Big Red, way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
Big Red, Pat's on Tweety, our hitter makes some noise, we got a podcast. We're based at Galleon and Floyd. Big Red, Big Red, Big Red, yeah.
Big Red,
welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
I'm Tweety.
Oh shoot!
He gave us a good.
Didn't think it was
decent.
Gonna
young man's introduction, and then you're making noises and making us seasick with your camera, Joe.
Yeah, sorry. I just didn't expect that from him.
It's true. It's fair. That's a fair excuse. You're back, man.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was I last week?
You had a sprinting.
Oh, yeah, my buddy's business got shut down. We had to help him move.
Oh no.
Yeah. COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still having an impact.
Yeah. You know where it's not right now though? Well, it's about not to anyway. Fan attendance at Big Ten sporting events.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that last week. It broke, over a week ago, but we hadn't gotten a chance. We were just saving it for you, Tweety.
Yeah, we had so much other stuff to talk about last week.
I don't remember what any of it was.
At all. Neither does anyone who listened. But yeah, it Fair is enough. Good. And you know, none too soon, obviously. I have looked and I saw Nebraska's numbers are going up again, which is stupid. I don't know why that is, but
California's are too, right?
But up from a much lower number, at least percentage wise. Not like there's probably the same amount in California as Nebraska, but the percentage is different. That's neither here nor there, really, just an observation. But you know, as they open things up now, I don't know, how are vaccinations going out there, Pat?
Everybody's getting cerebral palsy or whatever.
I have one shot. To the best of my knowledge, I'm good there.
You're not.
Which one did you get?
Oh, come on. I got Moderna.
Me too.
Why you got to do that to a guy, Tweety?
Why would a guy with OCD blindly trust the government?
Well,
I work in
it's
news.
Not blindly trusting.
I feel confident with the level of information that I've gotten. But that said, to answer Joe's question, they've been churning through the rural areas a lot faster. There's a little bit
because there's four people in each town.
Well,
no, also, but you still have to get to them.
There's a higher turndown rate in the rural areas. Omaha and Lincoln have been going much slower than the rural areas. But when I went, there were a lot of people. But it was, they did say when they called me, they're like, hey, if you know anyone who needs it, have them contact us. Meanwhile, they haven't contacted my mom in Lincoln yet. Last I had talked to her anyway. I still need to call her.
Get her to drive out there.
Here's the thing.
There are people.
I learned my lesson about first editions when I bought the first Apple Watch. I'm gonna wait for the second version. I'm waiting for V2.
Well,
maybe even V3.
The one thing I'm glad about
is kind of version two because Pfizer was V1.
It's not.
Pfizer was V1.
It's not. Not until I want to see how many of you die before
Well, they tried it. Here's the good thing. They tried it on all the elderly first. I think that was a good plan. Obviously, it was under the pretense of because they were needed it more. But I think it's okay to say now that it was also probably to see like how many of them were going to, you know, grow extra arms and stuff. And when didn't happen.
mRNA technology, they were working on that pre-COVID. It's not a completely foreign and brand new concept, even though
if it was a CrossFit shot, Tweety would take it right away.
Absolutely not.
If somebody was like, yes,
what's
exactly
that?
If it were steroids,
the drug that's been around for 80 years, yeah, I'd probably consider that.
And it does have side effects.
What?
And does have side effects.
What are they?
Shrunken back testicles, anger, back knee.
Yours can't get any. Yours,
heart issues.
True. Acne is real. The acne thing is real. Everything else is all bullshit.
Heart, you got to think for Tweety, issues. the anger isn't a big issue.
The
shrunken
so
testicles isn't a big issue with Tweety because they can't get any smaller.
The shrunken testicles isn't even a real issue. Like, yeah. I've watched a bunch of documentaries.
Yours haven't even dropped yet, Tweety, so it's not a big deal.
I have very large testicles.
But they haven't dropped.
Maybe you should take them. No, they've dropped. That's not healthy.
That's too painful.
Maybe you have testicular cancer. Maybe that's the set. Maybe there's a separate issue to play.
I mean,
well, Tweety, he was trying to increase his total lift. So as a cheat, he tied 10 pounds to his scrotum to just add to the weight that he was lifting on the bar. And that pulled his scrotum down to his knees.
Yeah. Why don't you ask your mother about that?
Nailed it.
She does work piercing scrotums for weightlifters.
So if you, sorry, Joe, this question is just for Tweety because I know like, cause it anyway. So after over a year of not being able to attend Husker stuff, if you were in Lincoln and someone gave you tickets to a Nebraska Maryland baseball game with the opportunity to see a Husker sporting event, would you go?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Well, because a couple of reasons. One, it's not a sport, so it's not even a sporting event. So this is a fallacy of a question.
America's pastime.
No, it's not. Maybe it was in 1927 when they still rode horses in half the country. I mean,
if you were throwing 100 pitches in a game, you would be very, very tired by the end.
Yeah, you know what else is very, very tiring? People get arthritis from typing.
Well, that's not tiring. That you're cramping up.
Your hands, man. People get their eyes get tired from watching television. Is that a sport now? Jesus Christ, this is insane. Also,
I get tired listening to Tweety's
anti-baseball rants. Does that make it a sport?
Stupid question. Let's pretend for 1 second that baseball is a sport.
All right.
It's still the most boring sport on the planet. I would rather watch bowling.
Bowling's fun, man.
Yeah. Curling?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'd rather watch curling.
Is the beanbag game a sport?
Cornhole? No, it's a game.
Okay. Would you rather watch that or baseball?
Beanbag, cornhole. I'd rather watch that.
That's just because you can't relinquish any ground on this argument because you've gone so hard on it.
I have a relationship with cornhole.
I bet you do.
It's like I'd rather watch a CrossFit comp. I get that to you, if you wouldn't watch a CrossFit comp, you would be like, this is as boring as I think baseball is.
You have no relationship. I've watched them. I don't find them boring. I have given it a chance.
You have a relationship to it, right? When you see someone do 100 alternating dumbbell snatches at 70 pounds and then do 10 burpees and then 10 pull-ups and then run a 400, you understand how much athleticism that takes.
That's what I'm saying.
Taylor Greene thing. That was a CrossFit exercise, right?
What was?
That Marjorie Taylor Greene video she put out, that's a big CrossFit thing she was doing.
Who is that?
She's some congresswoman who did an exercise routine on Twitter. And it's very spastic.
I don't know. I'd have to see it.
In answer to your question, yes, I know how difficult a lot of those things they're doing are. And so, yes, that adds to something. And I also know how difficult it is to throw a bunch of fastballs and curveballs for 100 pitches a game. I mean, I haven't done that, just as I haven't done like the level of difficulty of the CrossFit games, but I do know how much physical exertion there is to that. So yeah, you're right. It does require a little bit of a relationship with it and understanding.
For fun. I'm only talking still, but here's the thing. I already know what you're doing here. So I'm just saying to watch it out of pleasure, not to consider it a sport. I don't really consider CrossFit a sport. I consider it exercising for time.
That's the very definition of sport, I feel like.
No, absolutely not. Because if that's the case, then jazzercise is a sport.
No one's doing that for competition, though. Since when have people been doing jazzercise for competition?
But you do everything for competition. Jazz dance is that a sport now? Absolutely not.
No, that's different. That's an entertainment.
Basketball's a sport.
I think if there's scorekeeping,
fighting's a sport. Hockey's a sport.
there are literally dozens
soccer,
of sports.
I guess so it's a sport. That's so about it. Going,
but then, so all it really is just whether or not you find that particular sport entertaining to you, then it's a sport. If not, you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, no. That's everything. No, Tweety.
Absolutely not. I'll tell you how you decide.
If you had to hesitate on soccer,
I get to decide what sports are. New rule.
Well, that's it. That's how you look at everything. Everything. Okay. I mean, we all kind of look at everything through our own context, but you won't accept other people's definition of things that you don't like.
If you can be fat and do it, it's not a sport.
Football?
Chuck Knoblauch.
He wasn't fat.
No.
Oh, who is the... Then I'm
Pablo Sandoval, who's still playing.
I only know, like... So many baseball names. Who was the catcher that was fat that had a cave with his last name?
Well, Carlton Fisk wasn't fat.
No.
Jared Saltamacchia?
No, I just said
he wouldn't know Saltalamacchia.
Saltalamacchia?
Andy Van Slyke? No, I'm kidding. I know he wasn't.
Andy Van Slyke?
But Joe raised a valid point. If obesity is... If having... players who are obese is your baseline.
No, because what are we doing? Football, you're going to say offensive linemen. They're not obese. They're all muscle, by
definition.
They have a layer of fat around them, but they're all muscle. Babe Ruth, dude, a guy threw a no hitter tripping on acid. Not a sport.
David Wells was not tripping on acid. He was hungover.
He did walk eight guys.
No, he was tripping on acid.
Yeah, Doc Ellis. He walked eight guys, though, for the record. It was a no hitter, but eight walks
doesn't matter.
And he hit a guy,
but also I will say part of football. And I do also think this is a big physical challenge, and it also supports that football is difficult and a hell of a sport, but like some of those guys do carry a fair bit of fat because that's what they're engineered to do.
There's so much muscle there too, because there's so much strength. I feel like I could wrestle a fucking fat catcher.
You couldn't. A major league catcher today would destroy you.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Gary Sanchez would destroy you.
Okay. That's anecdotal. Let's line up. I want 15.
Well, yours is anecdotal as well.
No, it's not. I want 15 fat catchers and let's find out.
So when I say it's anecdotal, But when you say
you're saying you want one guy. I'm saying give me 15.
Let's he's giving you a specific one. You're giving 15 that don't necessarily even exist.
No, there I'm saying let's get 15. I'll wrestle them.
Any major league catcher
What I'm saying is there aren't
their
many
core is so much catchers. Stronger than yours.
I'm like Nolan Ryan.
What I'm saying is there aren't many fat catchers because that's too difficult of job to be fat and do that. You might find a bunch of fat first basemen. I'll give you that because you don't have to move fat very first much.
Baseman, line them up.
But they'll still.
But kill Cecil you, Fielder dude. Would still kick the shit out of
you. Those guys are mostly 6'2", 260 pounds. They will crush you.
I'm 6 foot. You know?
Can't hit a baseball out of the infield.
Yeah, they can't do a muscle up. What do you want?
They can.
No, they can't. They're all twitching. You know what? I'm going to go on the record right now as saying baseball players are bitches.
Okay. Okay.
Well, most of the strength in those baseball players is in the lower half.
Everybody.
I would think
the majority of strength in every human being is in their lower half.
That's why I'm saying I think you would appreciate, like, these are dudes that could probably squat a house.
Right.
And part of
that doesn't make it I just said CrossFit's not a sport.
Yeah, we know. You don't even have to say that, Ryan.
Is beer pong a sport?
I think
ping pong is.
No, it's not.
I think that CrossFit for competition is a sport.
I think that CrossFit for competition is a competition.
Why don't we
Which is the very definition of a sport?
Baseball.
If that's the definition of sport, then any competition is a sport.
No.
With spinning in chairs for time is a sport.
No, the very definition of sport.
Athletic output.
An athletic competition done for the sake of competition. The athletic part got cut off there in the shorthand part of that. But athletics. Done for the sake of competition. That is sport.
No.
Look, Tweety has dragged us down, Pat, with just going no to every argument we've given. And we just keep yelling at him. But no wonder Tweety is doing is going, no, no, no.
That's no wonder he hates improv these days.
But it's because it's driving.
It's working on us. Is improv a sport?
No.
No.
So what's a cage match then? A cage match is a competition. There's a competition, clock.
But with no athletic.
Yeah, it's like a poetry.
So mental strength isn't a real strength now. Is that what you're saying?
Stop. Pat, he's just going to keep fading you with this dumb argument.
I'm winning this argument.
No, you're peeking in your microphone.
Yes, you are. You are.
Good. Fuck our fan base. Fuck our listeners. Fuck anybody that likes baseball.
Our fan base are not big baseball fans.
Our fan base is great. Our fan base is awesome.
We've got a fair bit of baseball fans.
Well, fuck those ones, but the other ones are great.
Well, it's good.
King J. Hip is going to be so mad at you.
Who?
King J. Hip is going to be so mad at you.
Hey, King J. Hip, eat a dick.
Wow.
Took you a minute.
Took you that long to get there.
I was trying to think of something that rhymed with hip, but I didn't want to just say eat a hip.
Dip.
True.
Dip doesn't make sense.
I mean, that's for baseball. You know, you get a dip of chewing tobacco.
Eat a nip, King J. Hip.
There you go. Baseball's still good right now. Pat before said, are we just a baseball and volleyball school? No, but mostly right now.
Volleyball, however, very nice butts on those women.
Okay. Even the men have good butts in volleyball, I'm sure.
There is no men's volleyball team.
Not in Nebraska.
Not at Nebraska.
Right, which is what this podcast is based on.
Schools.
Yeah, but this is a... Nebraska, I didn't realize it was a California podcast. You fucking, I hate everybody.
Two thirds of our podcast is in California right now.
Yeah, but that's not California.
It's in the theme song. It's in the theme song. California. It's right in the song.
It's not. Yeah, I don't even know. Is the word Nebraska said in our theme song ever? I know it. I know California is.
Yeah. California is the place you ought to be.
Not what it says.
Wrong theme song.
Oh. Wrong theme song. So we got two signings. How often is it that we have a guy in the class 2 years down signed at this point?
Especially in class C1. But Ben Bramer
he's a big guy.
He's ridiculously good. It was interesting they classified him as a tight end because he plays a lot of wide receiver. right now.
Well, Nebraska is becoming the state of tight ends.
Well, no matter where they play.
Well, what's his name said we have the best tight end class in the, or the best tight end group in the nation.
Who's what?
We just lost one.
Who's the tight end? Yeah. Like losing Kurt Raftel, like he seems like a good guy, but that doesn't make or break your tight end room.
Yeah, he's probably going to go play baseball.
But yeah, we do have a good, and we're going to not get either of the two guys in the class of 2022, Caden Helms, and there's another tight end in Nebraska who I think will not end up going here.
There are a lot.
There's four. The top four guys in Nebraska may not go. We may get one of them.
There are a lot of top flight recruits in Nebraska right now, and very few of them seem interested in Nebraska at the moment. It's going to take some on-field performance, and then also people on Twitter not telling newly committed recruits that they suck.
So is that that's for the linebacker, the in-state linebacker they signed, right? Or if the Florida wide receiver they signed.
Right.
That's Florida wide receiver, but he runs like a 10-800 or something like that.
Yeah, and he's like 6'2".
4.340.
Also, I think there are tons of like receivers who have those kinds of measurables. You can turn them into better receivers than their current rankings. Like there are a lot of under the radar receivers who turn out to be very, well, very good.
And also there weren't any camps really during COVID. So
yeah,
it's hard to rank anybody.
There's
going to be a lot of under the radar guys. This could actually end up being really beneficial for Nebraska.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I think for, you know, the Alabamas and stuff, they're just going to get the guys who are the top.
They're going to get the guys that we're going to get anyway.
Yes, exactly.
They may end up being busts. I mean, a lot of them, because they might end up falling that they wouldn't have fell, you know?
Right. But for the other 100 teams in college football that aren't those three teams, I do think it's going to be opportunities abounding wherever. And I do think I think the Nebraska recruiting plan, they definitely know who they want, because they offer guys regardless of star stuff and everything. And I think they do their homework as much as they can. Whereas I feel like there's some other schools that just wait for some schools to offer and then they jump on. It's like, oh, great. They did this. We'll offer too.
Yeah. I think the scouting part, I'm confident with this team in that regard. I think where it's going to get tricky this year is with one home game in the first, 5 weeks.
They're trying to get a game moved into that slot there.
Yeah, well, that's why, like, I really, really, really didn't want Nebraska to drop that Oklahoma game, just as was the case with every Nebraska fan. But it's why it's also ridiculous that everyone, like, just dogpiled, like, thinking, like, oh, they're just doing it for coward reasons. They had to think pragmatically about certain things, too, just getting any sort of revenue as early as you can before, you know, something else happens. And you've realized over this last year that you can't take like the financials for granted, but then also getting kids on campus. And when you haven't been able to do that for ages, you got to do it. I mean, there are going to be a lot of kids who are going to get blown away by that first campus experience because they haven't had a chance to do that in a while. You want to strike while the iron's hot.
Yes, I agree. Well, and they're already setting visits up for guys. There's a couple of guys from Kansas that are coming.
You want to give them that game day experience if you can.
Oh, like yes, true, yes, yes.
Game day.
So you're saying for that specific date.
Is it four out of the first five that are on the road? Is that what it is?
Yes, because it was supposed to be in Ireland and then a bye week. And then I think it was like, two or three away games and one home game.
Yeah,
it would be nice to get one in there. Also, just, you know, it's more likely to be a win if you got an early home game, I think.
Yeah. It goes at Illinois, by home against Buffalo, at Oklahoma, at Michigan State. So yeah, before October, like from August and September, there's one home
opportunity to have people come. And you would like it to be that other week too. Although that's right when everybody else's school starts, but I guess for players, they take their visits anyway, no matter what.
Yeah.
And it would be on a weekend. It would be a Saturday.
Well, and you limit the number, like, cause some kids can't get there on certain Saturdays based on like their playing schedules too. And the deeper you get,
or they've got to visit somewhere else. Line. There's only so many places they can go. So you want to give them as many options as possible.
Yeah. Well, and if you start to get too deep into October, that's when playoffs start for a lot of high school states too.
Well, what about the spring game? Because that offers a unique opportunity. We don't know how many people, or do we know how many people they're going to have for that? Because if they can do a full house, I think it sounded like
50%.
Okay.
Even, which is about what the spring game is, isn't it?
Yeah. No, we try and fill it largely,
and they pump the numbers. Yeah.
50% for a spring game should impress anybody.
Absolutely. And to be fair, we regularly go far over 50%. I think most years we have about 70 to 80,000 people. But yes, 50%, and they would go 50% off of like the max capacity there. So you would get a pretty full bowl there.
I guess we did sell out the spring game, Frost's first spring game, didn't we?
Right. Exactly.
Not about that.
I mean, it's been a fairly recent development that like that's been selling out in recent years, largely because it's that one really affordable opportunity for people to go see a game, like people who
and Nebraska's going to win.
Yeah. But like,
well, the Frost hype train was in full effect. I mean,
yeah,
for the first 2 years, for sure.
But yeah, I don't think that hype train's there anymore.
Yeah. But it's also kind of tipped over in recent years too, because like that became the opportunity for families who wouldn't normally be able to go to a regular season game to see a game in Memorial Stadium. People, the second,
yeah, but then market, they opened it up to boosters to buy all the tickets.
Well, the secondhand market the value and really like snatched all those up and sold them back for five times as much, and really kind of negated that.
Yeah. That's pretty big how they do that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, corporations are
even. It ain't corporations that are doing that, homie. That's the fucking boosters. It's those guys on the corner.
Well, there's a corporation involved with StubHub.
Right.
And then you've got, there are people who use people.
Yeah, it's not just corporations that are evil. I mean, I'm not saying I'm pro-corporation, but there's definitely just assholes.
But
a lot of them.
But the StubHubs of the world, yeah, they're bots that swoop in. Like, and that happens not just with tickets.
But I don't think StubHub buys anything. StubHub's just a platform like eBay.
Right, right. But that doesn't put restrictions on.
Well, but I mean, that's not their job. I don't want corporations to start making decisions like that. That's not their job.
But in any case,
they never would make decisions like that.
Right.
They create a platform for people to do that. Yes.
Buy and sell and trade. I mean, the market will determine the price. It sucks. Like, it's a double-edged sword, you know? I wish that people could still afford the tickets, but you know, what are you supposed to do? Like,
I think if you act quickly, you can get the tickets.
Yeah, I think if anybody's fucking up, it's the university by giving the boosters the opportunity to buy 20 tickets per season ticket or whatever it is that they're allowed to do.
Especially because, you get to go see all the real games, dude.
Right. Yeah, I think that's where the
you're right.
But I think they were trying to fluff up that Scott Frost hype train, but
kiss the ass of the big corporate guys, so they try to offer them as much as possible to keep their season ticket.
They give them to their employees, and
the employees
put them on StubHub.
Right. Yes.
Because they, because they're only making 40 grand a year. And that extra.
Yeah, you probably could put in, you could put in some, like, you know, I don't know if you did it digitally and made it a no resale or something like that. I don't think
Nebraska is going full on digital ticket yet.
Well, there's a fair bit.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, virtually
everywhere. The blue hairs would have a real, I mean, you know how long it take to get into fucking Memorial Stadium if we had to wait for every fucking blue hair to fucking get their phone to get the ticket up on their phone. It would be five lines of an old lady going, I don't know which app, what's an app? That's what it would be.
That's true, because you really only
have to go on Friday morning to get to your seat in time for the game on Saturday if it's a night game.
You need one, you only need one person like that in each line to give it a 6 minute backup.
Yeah. And who do you think those boosters are? I mean, let's face it. You think Larry, the cable guy's real sharp on his smartphone?
Well, he has, he was probably able to afford one well before any of us. So maybe.
Right. Yeah. I don't think,
I guarantee,
Larry, the cable guy is not, like, he's not a caveman.
Huh? He is 60.
Yeah.
Is he that old now?
He is.
Ought to be.
Hmm. Crazy.
Go ahead.
I forgot what it was. So you go.
Well, I wanted to just get back to the talking about the volleyball players, the Orlando wide receiver. And then what were you saying about this tight end? He lines up at wide out a lot.
Yeah. Because he's still pretty tall and lanky, but he's also just a sophomore. He's a good basketball too, which is usually a good sign.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's a legit athlete. Like, everyone in Northeast Nebraska is like, yeah, of course he committed to Nebraska. Like, I mean, Iowa State actually offered him before anybody else.
Wow.
Which, well, I think is probably great. A pretty good,
I mean, there's always, sign,
yeah, that's a good team right now.
Now we got to get a few of these kids to be defensive ends, Grant Wistrom-esque, you know, get a 6'8" guy, you know, if Fedone, like, if he wanted to kind of be JJ Watt, and if he started out like that, he probably would have the skills to be that. But his hands are probably too good to not have
his hands receiver. Are great.
Yeah. And so that's what we need, is to get a couple of these guys on the defensive end. I think that's really a position that we're, you know, the one thing we're lacking generally at Nebraska is that pass rusher,
that Derek Thomas sort of outside linebacker, guy.
Or again, a Wistrom would be, you know, he got to the quarterback a lot.
They all did back then, but there's also four people on the O-line that could fucking dominate.
You mean
and D-line? Linebackers that could dominate, and fucking four defensive backs can keep their guy covered for more than 3 seconds.
Well, I think we've got, I mean, there is.
How do you feel about, was it
as veteran a defense as we're ever going to have?
Was it Fisher that said he thinks we have the best defensive backs in the country? Well, do you buy that or do you sell that?
I'm going to sell that, because I'm going to say, Alabama is going to put three of their starting defensive backs in the first two rounds of the draft, probably almost every year, you know, like,
yeah. Okay. Top 10. Do you think we got a top 10 defensive back core?
I can't say, that definitively, but, I trust Travis Fisher. Travis Fisher doesn't, like, typically tend to go for the fluff stuff like some of the other people in the staff.
I'm not sure if it was Fisher that said it. I'm assuming it was. I can't remember who it was that said it.
I think Cambrett Taylor, if he has a good year, could be a first round pick.
I'm going to confidently say, and I realize this isn't really going out on a limb, but top 25 group of defensive backs for sure. I would say probably top five in the Big Ten. I mean, I'm not going to say.
Ohio State, you may look at.
I mean, you just got to make the assumption that Ohio State, at every position group, has the top position group in the Big Ten. Yes. Like, it's Ohio State and Michigan probably, and Penn State probably have the top three position groups across the board in the Big Ten, just based on the way they recruit. It's just hard to envision that otherwise.
Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to end up, because I think Braxton Clark, he got hurt last year. I think he's pretty good. Nadeem Joseph.
Farmer was really good before he got.
He was. Both of them. And again, like I said, Cam Taylor Britt, or Britt Taylor.
Taylor Britt. Cam Taylor Britt. You got it.
He's an NFL guy. Again, what do we have?
Deontay Williams, I think, is a potential NFL guy too. He broke some testing records, and he's one of our more instinctive defensive backs. That combination of Cam Taylor Britt and Deontay Williams, having both of those guys back this year is massive.
And having JoJo Doman back is also pretty big.
Yeah, who's I looked at his stats a bit of a defensive back.
Yeah. What's that? But he had, like, I forgot, they only played 8 games last year. He had really good statistics when you look at it at 8 games. You know, a couple fumble recovery, fumbles caused, like 6.5 tackles for loss, like 58 tackles. In 8 games, that was an impressive season.
I'm confident with the progress made by the front three and the back end of that defense. What's really going to be important is progress made in the middle of the defense and the linebackers. We've struggled a little bit in that part of the defense. And if there's a leap made there, like there has been on the other parts of the defense, look out, that could be a good defense, but that's a giant if. That's a huge if that I'm not ready to bank any money on yet.
Yeah. I mean, the way we played in that last game was promising. We've just sung this song so many times, I know, but we're singing it again.
It's what we do, man. we're gonna do crappy Groundhog Day.
I remember it now
for a long time.
Tweety, I know you're gonna be down, you know, you kind of go back and forth, but I recall last year you had me convinced we were going to win 9 games.
Yeah.
In like an 8-game season.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I don't feel like I could be held accountable for my homerism last year because nobody accounted for COVID.
Yeah. Right. I'm just wondering, are we going to get some of your homerism back?
Let me see the schedule.
Okay.
Well, as I said, Illinois first, then Buffalo.
Yeah. After a week off.
So Illinois, Buffalo, win-win.
Hang on. Let me get back to the schedule here. I was stuck on the baseball live stats.
Then it's Oklahoma. Michigan State.
Yeah, both on the road.
Split those, so 3-1.
You split those, so loss at Oklahoma beat Michigan State?
Maybe, or the other way around.
Okay.
3-1. Oh, God.
Then home against Northwestern.
Win 4-1.
Then home against Michigan.
Five one.
Then at Minnesota.
6-1.
Yeah.
Then home against Purdue.
7-1.
Home against Ohio State.
7-2.
Yeah. Then home against Southeastern Louisiana.
7-3. No, I'm kidding. 8-2.
Then at Wisconsin.
8-3.
Home against Iowa.
9-4. I mean, 9-3.
8-4.
9-3. So
I was on a downtrend. I think this is gonna be the year where Iowa starts their bad decade.
Where they say we should have let Ferentz go last year.
TJ Fidone?
Fidone. Yeah.
TJ Fidone?
Well,
Thomas Fidone.
Yeah, Thomas Fidone.
You can call him TJ.
Where am I getting that from? What's his middle name? Do we know?
Well, his dad's name, I think, is also Thomas. So it could be Junior? Thomas Jr.
Okay. Thomas Fidone, I feel like that's a guy that Iowa would normally get. And the fact that we got him, I think, is the changing of the guard.
Should we call him Tommy Boy?
No, we should call him Fabone. Because he's going to fucking start running through all these co-eds like Tommy Frazier did against Florida.
Don't you dare.
Fabone is a decent name, nickname.
So I have a follow-up question then to your schedule there. So you had losses to Wisconsin, Ohio State, and then
Oklahoma.
Either Oklahoma or Michigan State. You didn't confirm which one of those it was.
Go ahead.
So that's,
I know what he's going to say.
So that's either two or three losses. Do you think that gets us into the Big Ten championship game?
Depending on the Oklahoma Michigan State.
So you think if we beat Oklahoma that we would automatically have a letdown and lose to Michigan State?
Right. And I think that
if we lose to Oklahoma, we would come back
because I don't think Oklahoma is going to run us out of the house. Scott Frost.
I kind of don't either.
They're not going to just run through us. Like the way you beat Nebraska is you establish a run game and that opens up your passing. But I'm not convinced that Oklahoma has an Ohio State level run game. They certainly don't have an Ohio State level quarterback game.
No. So
I think that they're beatable. And here's the thing. I think they're a lot more beatable in week three than they are in week nine.
Yes. And they do lose. They are good for an early loss.
Every team is good for an early loss.
Usually. I mean, it's,
you know what I'm saying? And usually it's that's where you get the upsets is in the first 3 weeks.
I will say this as it relates to Michigan State. I think Scott Frost is going to do his absolute damnedest to not lose again to Mel Tucker after that letdown in Boulder a couple of years ago.
That's probably true.
Yep.
I forgot they don't have D'Antonio anymore. So, I mean, dude, I think that next season is going to be a breakout season. Homer Twiggy is back. I changed my 10-2.
Well,
see, that's all we had to do is go through the games and get Tweedy back.
So which one did you get? So did you have us beating Oklahoma and Michigan State?
That's what he's saying if we beat you've changed it to both?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've convinced myself that Oklahoma is a
pretender.
A pretender.
So you had
they're like, you know, the team that loses the Super Bowl always sucks the next year.
Often.
Yes.
That's Oklahoma this year. Lincoln Riley is overrated.
Well, here's the other question. Also, they didn't lose the championship this year.
No, but they lost in the playoffs first round.
Did they? Right? Yeah.
No, that was a year prior.
Oh yes, they got killed.
They won the playoffs this year?
No, that was Notre Dame this year.
That's right. Even better.
So you have us losing to Ohio State and Wisconsin, meaning so do you think Wisconsin loses three times in conference play then and we get in the Big Ten championship?
Who?
Wisconsin, because if we lose to Wisconsin,
Wisconsin,
I don't know who they play across.
They're going to lose to Ohio State.
Well, I don't know if they play
Ohio. If they play them.
I'll check out Wisconsin's schedule so we can figure this out. What's that?
Yeah, there was a pause there where we all thought you were doing that. It turned out you were, but
we're doing that. So Wisconsin's website is terrible navigation, by the way. Okay, so Wisconsin does have Penn State across. They've got Notre Dame in non-conference. Wisconsin has Michigan across division.
And Penn State?
Yeah. And Rutgers is their other one.
Mm.
Okay, they're going to lose Michigan and Penn State, I think.
And maybe they'll lose one in conference to Iowa or Minnesota.
Probably Minnesota more than Iowa. Iowa sucks.
So, all right.
It could happen.
Based on this.
But I'm going to go with a 10-2 Wisconsin gets into the Big Ten championship.
Oh, okay. So they're also right. But we'd get a great bowl game at that point. We'd get a pretty good bowl game.
And then you don't run the risk of getting torched by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, a la surrendering 70 to Wisconsin as we did that one year. I mean, ideally, you've got a little bit more confidence in your team if you've made the conference championship game. But right now, let's just get what we can.
Yeah, I think that the Big Ten is going to probably be a little soft this year. You got a couple first.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I was thinking the same thing. You have some coaching changes. The quarterback at Ohio State, I don't feel like they have that level behind him. We'll see.
Not, I mean, Fields is pretty hard to replace.
He's a top 10 player.
You got Malima. He's going to be, I don't like the fact that he's back in the Big Ten.
No,
he's a perfect fit in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he is. And he's a good coach and he likes to cheat.
he may want that Iowa gig.
I would hate that so much. I want baby Ferentz.
Well, he's not getting it.
Yeah. He's got too much racism on his resume.
Yeah. Once his dad's gone, he's gone.
You think Iowa cares about that?
Their president might.
I don't know that they care.
The folks in the academic side of things might.
Yeah, I'm not sure the academics have a whole lot to do with the football team.
Well,
no, they don't. That's a big university.
Presidents still have some say.
You think Biden's going to get involved?
I meant college presidents.
Biden Lima. Do we have anything else?
No, I just took my pants off because I was getting warm.
Today I was doing a back squat and almost shit my pants, but at the last second pinched my butt cheeks together.
This seems like
a wipe my ass.
It's been a couple of weeks since we had a good shit story on the podcast.
Yeah, I was drinking coffee. I started a 3-day Oli lifting supplemental training program. I was drinking coffee while I did it, which back squatting and squat snatching and squat cleaning and stuff and coffee, not a good mix.
No, it's not.
I also think in terms of the talking, just guys between the ages of 30 and eternity, when left long enough together, we'll start talking about shit. That's one great reason for the presence of women in as often as many places as possible.
Your wife doesn't talk about shit?
Not in the way that we do. Not with the detail. I listened to the Lebatard show and they are untethered. They don't have a sponsor right now. So they're just kind of doing a podcast. The shit talk, literally talking about their dumps, has increased about 250% to the fact that like
they're doing it 2.5 times.
If they're doing 3 hours of content, 30 minutes is about shitting now. Because there's no one to say, stop talking about taking dumps all the time.
Well, no one should tell them.
No, and no one should. And that's why we are untethered right now, because we don't want anyone telling us what to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. Since we don't have Chevrolet as a sponsor or Hilton
Hotels.
I'm very
concerned that the company I work for finds out about this podcast and listens to it.
I've shared those concerns as well. I mean, yeah, I understand.
There's a few episodes that if they got, the right episode in the first 5-7 minutes, there might be something. But then to slog through our usual crap for about 40 minutes, who's going to do that? Who's going to listen to 40 minutes of Nebraska talk to get to the part where we go into some anti-religious screen?
I'll tell you, all it would take is one of us to try to get on SNL and boom, there you go.
There's no risk of that.
I don't know, man.
I've got a couple emails from Lorne Michael. Apparently he needs me to send him money and then he'll send me more money in a couple weeks.
That's how
NBC Universal paychecks work.
Yeah. He's a prince of South Africa or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know, one, that they had a prince, or two, that he was the prince of South Africa.
Yeah.
But
he's one of the princes.
It happened during apartheid where they had where they got a white prince.
They were doling princeships out like crazy then. That's how Prince got his name.
Is it?
No.
During apartheid?
No. Don't think so.
Apartheid is his middle name.
Oh. Man, I'm going to name my first son.
And no one knows his last name.
We're in the last phase. We're in the last. Oh, I don't know if I've said that. I'm not. Maybe I don't want to talk about that on the podcast yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably a wise idea. If you have to think about that, then.
I'll tell you guys off air.
Okay.
All right. I also have to ask you guys a question off air. So yeah, let's stay on off air.
I also have to apologize for including apartheid in jokes. So we're all apologizing.
There's no need to apologize for that. I think we should make more apartheid jokes.
I think they're not as topical as they might be.
They're not. I don't think they're particularly topical anymore, which is.
I met a guy the other day who was the opposite of cross-eyed. He was apartheid.
All right. Now that's one that I'll take. That's like one that like if my kid knew the word apartheid, she might try to tell that joke.
All right. This seems like a good time for us to get out and then for Tweety to tell us his personal news.
And it's Easter. It's Easter. So, you know, he's risen, guys.
I left. Emma's doing the dishes from the food that her dad made, and I just came over here and did the podcast. I'm an asshole.
Nice. I love it.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. Go to Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast and throw in a couple dollars. And
just a couple.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was waiting for that, but that's the rhythm every time. That'll do it. Batty rides a bus.
Batty rides a bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.